All right, we are in the Florida Bible Institute, Level 1, Lesson 1, the Bible, the Word of God. Your scripture readings were 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, and John chapter 20, verse 31. Your memory verse, of course, was 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. The Bible claims to be the Word of God. And you have a decision to make. Let us stop for a moment and pray. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to anoint me to teach this in such a way that the people of God will be equipped, instructed, encouraged, and strengthened in their walk with you. I pray, Heavenly Father, you will make this real to every individual involved in this Bible study. I need your anointing. They need your anointing. And we're asking you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, the Bible claims to be the Word of God, and you have a decision to make. Either you will believe that the Bible is the Word of God, or you will not believe that the Bible is the Word of God. You will believe that the Bible is the inspired, God-breathed Word of God, or you will believe it to be the works of men. And only God can make the Word of God real to you. He is willing to do that, if you are willing to allow Him to do that. You have a decision to make. What is your decision? Now, let's examine verses that declare that the Bible is the Word of God, that God Himself is its author. The Bible states in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Inspiration means it was God-inspired. Profitable for doctrine means it is necessary for understanding the will of God. For reproof, for correction, means to reveal to us the error of our thinking, our attitudes, and our actions. For instruction in righteousness teaches us how to live a life that is pleasing to God. That is why you need to be in the Word of God. That's why you need to decide between you and God. Yes, I believe that the Bible is the Word of God. I believe that the Bible is inspired of you, Father God. I believe that the Bible is profitable for doctrine, and I must base my doctrinal beliefs on the Word of God. I must myself study the Bible, line upon line, precept upon precept. I know that it's good to correct me, to correct my thinking, to correct my attitudes, and correct my actions. You see, you have to come to those decisions. The Bible is for instruction in righteousness, teaching you how to live a life that is pleasing to God. And if you don't want to live a life that is pleasing to God, then you've got to consider this whole matter of your salvation. Now, why is it written this way? 2 Timothy 3:17 tells us that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That the one who has been born again, that's what this is saying, that the one who has been born again may be equipped to do all that God requires of him. You see, every individual born, God has a specific purpose, God has a specific plan, and God has spiritual gifts for each and every one who has been born again. You need to better understand God's purpose for your life, God's plan for your life, and you need to better understand all that God wants of you and from you. You see, it is as you get into the Word of God that you get to understand the mind of God and the heart of God, because it is the Scripture that reveals the heart of God, the purpose of God, the love of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, and yes, the judgment of God. It is from the Scriptures that we get a better idea how about the plans and purposes of God, not only in this our day, but in centuries gone by and in the future. Now, we need to understand how the Bible was written. Both God and man had a role in writing the Bible. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, the Bible was written by men who were anointed and motivated to write the Bible, the Word of God, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. It was written by men whose heart and mind the Holy Spirit of God moved, revealing the heart, the mind, and the will of God for man. Once you understand that, then you better understand why you need to spend time in the Word of God. And folks, we're not talking about just the New Testament. We're talking about the entire Bible. We're talking about from Genesis to the book of the Revelation. We're talking about the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. We're talking about the Old Testament. We're talking about the prophets of old, the major prophets, the minor prophets. None of them really were minor, but they're referred to as major prophets and minor prophets. But the point to bear in mind is that they were giving us the Word of God as God gave it to them. They were giving us that which God revealed to them, which is why we should be willing and desirous of understanding that which God was revealing about himself, about mankind, and about how to be rightly related to him, how to live a life pleasing to him, how to best serve him. That, my friend, is why we spend time in the Word of God. And let me say this to you. Until you are spending time in the Word of God and in the presence of God in prayer, you are never going to walk in faith. And if you're not walking in faith, then you can't walk in power, joy, peace, and victory. So it is essential that you as a believer priest, because now we are the new priesthood. Those of us who have been born again are now part of the new priesthood. And as part of the new priesthood, we need to thoroughly, fully, completely give ourselves to Christ Jesus and make sure that we are constantly in the Word of God, seeking to grow and seeking his purpose, his plan, his mind, his heart, his will at this moment in time for our lives. Once again, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, 2 Timothy 3:16 assures us that the Bible not only contains the Word of God, which it does, it contains the Word of God, it has a word from God, it not only contains the Word of God, it has a word from God, but it is the Word of God. It is the Word of God. The Word of God can only be understood by those who have been born again. Let me make that very, very clear. The Word of God can only be understood by those who have been born again. You may be involved in all sorts of religious activities. You may be involved in the religious activities of whatever church or whatever expression of religion that you attend or are a member of. But until you are born again and you have the indwelling Spirit of the living God indwelling you, let's face it, it was the Holy Spirit that enabled these people to write down the mind, the heart, the plans, the purposes of God. And it is only the Holy Spirit that can reveal it to you. Now, they revealed it. He, the Holy Spirit, revealed it to those who were writing the Word of God. But if you want to understand the Word of God, you need that same Holy Spirit helping you understand the Word of God. So once again, I say it without apology, the Word of God can only be understood by one who has been born again. And it can only be understood by the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, what do I mean by that? It means this. That explains why progressive illumination and understanding of even the same passages which have previously been studied. What do I mean by that? You can read the Bible time after time after time. You can read the same chapters, the same verses. You can read them year in and year out, month in and month out. And then at the 108th time you pick it up to read it, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit will show you deeper meaning, deeper insight, a greater understanding. So as you give yourself to understanding the Word of God, as you give yourself to studying the Word of God, as you give yourself to discipleship, there will be progressive illumination, just like progressive sanctification. Salvation is an event. Sanctification is a process. So you are being progressively sanctified, progressively developing the character of Christ in yourself, progressively becoming more like Christ if you're yielding yourself to Him in submission and surrender. So your sanctification, salvation is an event, sanctification is a process. And part of that process of sanctification is progressive illumination and understanding of the Word of God. Even those same passages which you have previously studied. I'm a preacher, and you know this happens to me all the time. I will be reading a verse or verses that I have read how many times in the past, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit gives me a different set of light. He gives me greater light, greater illumination, greater understanding. He gives me a different camera angle on it, and many times that's exactly how my sermons are developed, by simply sitting with the Word of God, depending on the Holy Spirit to make it real to me, and once again, progressive illumination and understanding. That comes as you spend time in the Word of God, prayerfully seeking the heart, the mind of God, and prayerfully seeking the leadership and the guidance and the understanding of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Word of God tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, we're told by that verse, we're commanded to study the Bible. Now, if you're not going to obey God, how will you ever understand the Word of God? You say, Bob, I think Paul was talking to Timothy there as a candidate for the ministry. No, he's talking to every believer. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, let's bring this to home to you. Are you a workman for the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have a testimony? Do you have a witness? Do you have people in your family who are yet not born again? Are you working around people who are not yet born again? Do you have neighbors who are not yet born again? Well, if you want to win them to Christ, you are a workman. For example, you are a believer, priest, and you are a witness one way or the other. Trust me, you are a witness one way or the other. But what about your testimony? Are you sharing your testimony with everyone else or anyone else? The Word of God says, study to show thyself approved unto God, not to some denomination, not to man, but to God, a workman. And if you've been born again, you are to be a workman in the body of Christ, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Paul's instructions to Timothy applies to all who would teach others, as all should, for all should be witnesses. Did you hear me? I said that Paul's instructions to Timothy applies to all who would teach others, as all should. We should all be in the process of trying to teach others, share our testimony, share our witness, help others come to a better understanding of the Word of God. So, you as a child of God are expected to be diligent and to be a workman in the kingdom of God. Now, the Word of God tells us that reading and studying the Bible reveals Christ. We go to John chapter 5 and verse 39. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Now that's Jesus speaking. Jesus said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they, what, the Scriptures, are they which testify of me. You see, if you want to know Christ, you're going to have to get in the Word of God. You're going to have to spend time looking at what He taught, listening to what He taught, looking at His life example. Here again, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. You want eternal life? It can be found in Christ Jesus. It cannot be found just in religious activity. It cannot be found just in association with or identification with some religious movement. No, you have to come to the cross. You must be born again. And so once you get into the Scriptures and you start understanding the cross and you realize that you came out of the womb with a sin nature and it didn't take very long for that sin nature to be being revealed, nobody had to teach you to lie. Nobody had to teach you to cheat or to steal. All that came naturally. Why? Because you had a sin nature. Now, Once you come to understanding that and you want to be a new person, a new creature in Christ Jesus, that's when you come to Christ to be born again. And so the Word of God tells us, Jesus said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they, it is the Scriptures, which testify of me. Now, the Bible also reveals that reading and studying the Bible increases wisdom. That's right, increases wisdom. I pray for wisdom all the time. I pray for deeper understanding. I pray for deeper comprehension. And so the Word of God tells us that it increases wisdom. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now, notice this is going to affirm what I was just telling you a while ago about a workman. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. It can't do that unless you're in it. The word of Christ cannot indwell you richly in all wisdom unless you are in the word of God, studying the word of God, believing the word of God, and then he goes on teaching and admonishing one another. So you're a workman. You're a workman in the kingdom of God, admonishing one another, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Just considering where God brought you from and what he's brought you through and where he's brought you to should be enough to have you singing. I sing a lot, and I just praise God, and I thank God because I look back where God brought me from, what he brought me through, and where he's brought me to. And I haven't arrived yet. I have not arrived. None of us have. But we're on the way to arrival. Amen. Now, it is the reading and studying of the Bible that produces faith. You want faith, don't you? Don't you want faith? As a child of God, don't you want faith? Let me tell you, this is one reason that so much of the church is lacking in faith. Number one, they do not understand who they are in Christ Jesus. Number one. Number two, they do not understand the cross. They do not more fully understand what Christ accomplished on that cross. They do not more fully understand how, when they became a new creature in Christ, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things have become new. The average child of God too many times does not understand or appreciate their new position in the kingdom of God. They do not understand the cross. They do not know how to appropriate all that was made available to them at the cross of Christ when Jesus himself took our sins upon himself. He who knew no sin became sin so that we could be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Too many of God's people simply don't understand those truths. Well, it's not until you get into the Word of God. The Word of God assures us in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You want more faith? You not only have to get into the Word, read the Word, believe the Word, but put the Word to practice. Put the Word to practice. God doesn't mind your testing him. God doesn't mind you trying your faith. He wants you to trust him. He wants you to try him. He wants you to grow in your faith. And you cannot grow in your faith unless you're in the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, we know from Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Well, let me just stop for a moment and ask you this. Who does not want more faith? I know I do. Don't you? Who among us does not want more faith? Now we have to ask ourselves this, how badly do I want more faith? How badly do I want more faith? Because the Word of God says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So obviously, if I want more faith, if I want to develop more faith, then I'm going to be spending time in the Word of God. I'm going to be building my faith by embracing the Word of God, believing the Word of God. Now, we also know that in addition to developing faith, we know that reading and studying the Bible reveals us to ourselves. That's not always pretty, is it? That's not always pretty. But reading and studying the Bible reveals us to ourselves. The Word of God says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, "For the Word of God," the Bible, "for the Word of God is quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The Word of God will reveal you to you. The Word of God will reveal God Himself to you. The Word of God will reveal the Lord Jesus Christ to you. The Word of God will reveal the Holy Spirit to you. The Word of God will reveal the promises of God to you. The Word of God will reveal the blessings of God to you. And the Bible will reveal you to you, which is why some people don't want to spend much time in the Bible, because they really don't want to have themselves revealed to themselves. They don't really want to look at the strongholds in their life. They don't want to look at the addictions. They don't want to look at those practices, that thought life, and those activities that are in their lives right now that they know are anathema to God. They are anathema to God. And until you're willing to sit down and be honest with God and acknowledge those things that are in your life that are not in keeping with the character of Christ, that are not in keeping with the Word of God, that are not in keeping with the character of God, if you will, until you're willing to do that, and then isolate those things, identify those things, and then start praying those things. In the name of Jesus, renouncing, rebuking those sins, confessing them as sins, and rebuking and renouncing the unclean spirit that is behind that activity in the life. Simple one. We've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Therefore, if I'm entertaining a spirit of fear, it is because I have not yet come to grips with the issue of the Word of God and that Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ came out of that tomb, He had conquered everything hell had to offer. He conquered sickness, disease, death. He conquered Satan and every demon out of hell. Now, you as one who've been born again, you have been indwelt by the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have been indwelt by, if you will, the creative power of this universe. And you have been bidden, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. But unless you are identifying those areas of your life where you have allowed the enemy to encroach into your life and implant his deceitful seed in your life, his deceitful attitude in your life, even the deceitful practices and habits in your life, you're not going to walk in peace, joy, power, and victory. So if you want peace, power, joy, and victory, get into the Word of God. Make sure you're born again, number one. Make sure you are born again. And then spend time in the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit of God minister the Word to you. The Word here refers to the written Word. For the Word of God is quick and powerful. This refers to the written Word of God, not to Jesus in the flesh, as the Word of God speaks in John chapter 1 and verse 1. Now, reading and studying the Bible, if believed and obeyed, gives guidance for our lives. Did you hear me? Reading and studying the Bible. What do I mean, studying as opposed to reading? Take the time to analyze what you've read. Take the time to understand what you've read. How many times have you sat down with a Bible? You're going to read the Bible. And you read 3 chapters, 5 chapters, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and when you get through with it, you couldn't go back and tell us one thing you've read. None of it really saturated your spirit. None of it really, if you will, spoke to you specifically. And that is why? Because you went at it half-heartedly. And while you were reading the Bible, you were thinking about what you're going to do about this, what you're going to do about that, this decision, that decision, yesterday, tomorrow. You're thinking about everything else. And Satan is going to try to make sure that you do not zero in on the Word of God, because he knows that when you zero in on the Word of God, then you find out who you are in Christ Jesus, and you can stand victoriously against him. Once again now, the Word of God, if we study it, read it, believe it, obey it, it will give guidance to our lives. And you can never go wrong. Hear me. You can never go wrong in obeying God. Can't do it. You can never, ever, ever go wrong in obeying God. Now, I said reading and studying the Bible, if believed and obeyed, gives guidance for our lives. Look back again at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, where we were a moment ago. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now we go a step further. Reading and studying the Bible reveals God to us. It is as we read and study the Bible that God reveals himself to us. For example, Hebrews chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, we're going to read three verses. God who at sundry, that means at different times, God who at different times and in different manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Don't let that escape you. God, who at different times and in different manners spake in times past unto the fathers, our ancestors, by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who, Jesus, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus, being the brightness of the glory of God, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins. How did he purge our sins? He went to the cross. He went to the cross as God's sacrifice for sin. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When you understand that Jesus, once again, who being the brightness of the glory of God and express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself, he didn't have the help of Mary in this. He didn't have the help of any apostles in this. When he had by himself purged our sins, how did he do that? By taking our sins upon himself. Once you understand in the darkness of those hours on the cross, when Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? In that moment and in those moments when he was hanging on the cross in that darkness, and when he who knew no sin had become sin, he took upon himself the sin of the sodomite, the homosexual. He took upon himself the sin of the adulterer, the murderer, the drug addict, the alcoholic. He took upon himself every imaginable sin of every sinner who ever lived for those who would believe in him and receive him. And he brought that sin to himself, and he embraced that sin, if you will, and put that sin to death in himself. Which is why we teach that when you come to Christ to be born again, what you're doing really is sort of just walking up to the cross, placing your hands on Jesus the way they did those sacrificial animals in the Old Testament. Symbolically speaking, you come up to the cross, you lay your hands on Jesus, you confess you're a sinner, you confess your sins, and those sins are transferred from you to Jesus. And when Jesus dies, those sins are put to death in Christ Jesus. God not only forgives sin, God forgives sinners, but he does it on the basis of their having come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one of two places in all the world for your sin. One is on you, one is on Jesus. As long as that sin is on you, unconfessed, then it's not on Jesus. But the minute you confess that sin, acknowledge that sin, and confess it as sin, then that sin is put to death in Jesus Christ. You see, sin has to die. sin has to die. Now, we come to this. You were to explain in your own words how the following scriptures speak to the believer. Ephesians 5:25 speaks to the husband's relationship with his wife. The Word of God tells us. Now, this is the Word of God. This is not some marriage seminar. This is not some book on marriage. This is the Word of God. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So how do you love your wife? As a husband, you are willing to give up your life for your wife. You will defend her. You are willing to die for her if necessary, as Christ did for his bride. You see, the church is the bride of Christ. The Word of God tells us that. The church is the bride of Christ. And the Word of God tells us, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, his bride, if you will, and gave himself for it. You are to love your wife as ardently, as fervently, as Christ loves sinners, as he loves his church, because though the church is made up of those who were sinners who've been born again. So you're to love your wife as Christ loves the church. Well, if you love your wife, you won't be playing games with another woman, will you? You won't be making little remarks and comments, and you won't be taking furtive glances at her from a distance, or you won't be involved in things that show that you really are not committed to your wife. You see, the same commitment you have to your wife, Christ Jesus had that and much more for those of us who have been born again, for the church. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, Proverbs 22:6 speaks to the training and raising of children. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Notice it says, when he is old, he will not depart from it. Many have experienced their children coming to maturity and then spinning out. Yes, they were raised in Sunday school. Yes, they were raised in church as they raised in a Christian home. Yes, they had family devotions. But something happened. Now, many times I think that the parents fail to understand the sins of the fathers. They fail to understand what is in the bloodline that can affect their children. And a parent who properly understands the sins of the fathers is going to start praying for their children as soon as they come into this world. They're going to stand in the hedge. They're going to make up the gap. They're going to take their position of authority in Jesus Christ, and they're going to break the power of the sins of the fathers, the ancestral sins in the bloodline. They're going to break those sins in the name of Jesus. They're going to break the power of those sins in the name of Jesus so they cannot affect their child. So the Word of God says, train up a child in the way he should go. Biblical standards, moral values, spiritual values, in the word, prayer. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from me. Yes, he may spin out. He may spin out. Many have. I did, and I know many who did. Yes, we spun out, raised in church, raised in a Christian home, but we got into the military, the corporate world, or whatever, and we were not strong enough. We had not developed enough strength, inner strength, if you will. We didn't even comprehend, understand fully the cross of Christ. And every sin we ever sinned, we knew was wrong. Every sin we ever sinned, we knew was wrong when we did it. And yet we did it. But when he is old, he will not depart from it. How many occasions have we had those who spun out and they went to the pig pen, like the prodigal, like the prodigal. They went to the pig pen, and then one day they came to their senses and they came home. And so the Word of God says, when he is old, he will not depart from it. He may backslide. He may depart from it for a season as a younger person. But if they're trained in the Word of God, and if they ever gave their life to Christ, they cannot remain indifferent, aloof, and apart from him forever. Now we come to Matthew chapter 22 and verse 39. This speaks to man's relationship to man. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You're to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your might, all your mind, all your body. And if you're doing that, you're not going to be bad-mouthing them. You're not going to be gossiping them. You're not going to be taking advantage of them. You're not going to be trying to misuse them. No, we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. Now, Luke chapter 6 and verse 31 speaks to business principles. And as you would that men should do to you, do you likewise to them. In other words, don't use people. Don't manipulate people. Don't use people. When we get to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, this speaks to a wife's relationship to her husband. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husband. To which husband? Your own husband. Wives, submit yourself to your own husband as unto the Lord. As completely. This is a tough one, especially in this day when the feminist movement is so strong and moving on all fronts in our nation. There's a lot of people not going to like this. A lot of women are not going to accept this. And you've got some women sitting in church who says, nope, I'm not going to do that. But the Word of God says, wives, submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord. That's tough, isn't it? As fully and completely as you would submit yourself to the Lord, you're to submit yourself to your husband. And this is the Word of God. I didn't write it, but this is the Word of God. Now we get to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, speaks to our individual finances. But this I say, he which, now Paul is talking to the church at Corinth, he says, this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. You reap what you sow in that sense. If you sow sparingly into the kingdom of God, then you're going to reap sparingly. But if you sow bountifully, you can't outgive God. You cannot outgive God. So this 2 Corinthians 9, 6 speaks to your finances. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And matter of fact, Luke chapter 6, verse 38, Jesus' teaching says the same thing. This way, give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Now, 2 Corinthians 9, 6 speaks to our finances. Paul speaking to the church at Corinth. And then Jesus speaks to our finances in Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. Once again, give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, withal shall be measured to you again. When we get to Matthew 22, verse 37, speaks to man's relationship to God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Now you see, when you get there, you don't mind obeying what you've already been told that you're supposed to do. Once you get here, once you get to the place that you obey Jesus when he said, you shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, when you get there, you won't have any difficulty obeying those other scriptures that we just covered. You won't have any problem at all obeying those scriptures when you get here. But until you get there, you're going to quibble and you're going to hesitate and you're going to wonder, does that really mean what it says? Do I really need to obey that? You want to walk in peace, joy, power, and victory? Obey the Word of God. Now, Proverbs 3, chapter 3, verses 21 through 22, speaks to man's health issues. Word of God says, my son, talking about the Word of God, let them not depart from thine eyes. What? The Word of God, the instructions of God. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall there be life unto your soul and grace to thy neck. These verses speak to our individual health. Once again, Proverbs 3, 21 and 22. My son, let them not, that's the Word of God, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace unto thy neck. This speaks to our health. Friend, make no mistake about it. The Word of God is the Word of God. The Word of God speaks to every area of our lives. So why don't you purpose in your heart that you will get to know the Word of God by reading it, studying it, enjoying the benefits and blessings that come from spending time in it, and obeying it. Why not just make that decision right now? Yes, I will spend time with the Word of God. I will seek the leadership of the Holy Spirit, the guidance, the direction, the illumination, and I will better understand the Word of God and bring my life into alignment with the Word of God so that I can enjoy all the benefits and the blessings of the Word of God. And may God bless you as you make that decision. Father, help those who listen to this lesson be convinced in their heart that the Bible is the Word of God, and help them, I pray, in Jesus' name, come to a determination, a decision, to get to know it, understand it, and obey it. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.